Welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. I'm your host, Jenna Josephowski, but you can call me Jenna J. I'm a semi-retired professional dancer, dance teacher, and yoga teacher turned certified personal trainer and kettlebell instructor who helps active women learn to lift and get strong with equal parts challenge and compassion. After years of working in the fitness industry, I got sick and tired of watching people, including myself, run themselves into the ground trying to uphold the narrow-minded image of what our culture sees as healthy and fit. But instead of giving it all up, I decided that I'd rather change the game, call out the BS, extract the good, and help others learn to use movement as a way to build themselves up rather than tear themselves down. On this podcast, we'll explore the intersection of fitness and anti-diet culture and all the gray areas in between. We'll let go of shoulds and judgments and dig into tough conversations with curiosity. Things get pretty spicy around here, so grab your headphones and let's do this. Hey friends, welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. Today I'm back with another crossover slash collab episode with my friend Christina Montalvo. And today we're talking about the show Shiny Happy People. If you have not seen that documentary, highly recommend. But spoiler alert, I know a lot of times we like go off the rails and are very unfiltered, but today, we are definitely very unfiltered, talking about a lot of stuff, particularly related to religion. So make what you will of that. This conversation is definitely something that's been on my mind for a bit, and it was cool to be able to talk it out with her. So let's go ahead and get into it, shall we? All right. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Jenna.
We're here for another episode, and we're talking about more TV shows and the rabbit holes that this one might unfold.
Shiny happy people.
Shiny happy people.
Should we like intro it in case people haven't seen it?
Yeah, okay. Let's intro it. I don't think as many people have seen that show as have seen Ted Lasso.
I agree.
But I think it is a very eye-opening must watch.
I agree. Did you watch The Duggars? Did
no.
You didn't.
Okay. I did not. Did you?
Yes.
So okay.
It for some reason, so the whole thing of Shiny Happy People is the documentary of this family that got famous on the network TLC called, well, I think when the show started, it was called like 14 Kids and Counting.
Yeah, but then it turned into like 19
yes,
Kids and Counting.
And then each year it was like 15 Kids and Counting, 16, and they went all the way up to 19. And I can distinctly remember, because I don't know how old I was, much younger, obviously. What I can distinctly remember thinking is these women are so bizarre.
Yes.
And I remember being like a young, sporty, they were just so opposite of me.
Yeah.
That I remember watching of like, what is so, they were annoying to me.
Okay.
I
and
perceive
how
the girls as annoying.
How old were you when that show was out? I don't even know when that show was out. When
Gosh,
was it out?
I must have been 14 or 15 maybe.
Okay.
Let me Google it. Do you want to finish introing talking about the show while I Google this?
Yeah. So the premise behind the show, or the documentary, I guess it is, Shiny Happy People, was taking a look at what was actually going on with this family, the Duggars, during the time that they filmed and really after, and exposing a lot of stuff because they were very much painted as this shiny, happy, like Christian family. And there was very much a whole lot of scandal going on there, like child pornography with maybe we should give a trigger warning here.
Yeah.
But with their older brother and like sexual assault of his sisters and a lot of stuff about this whole branch of Christianity. Can you remember what
what was it called? It's a guy's name. It's a guy's name, which to me, huge red flag. Fundamentalists. Is that it?
Yeah, but it had, like, there were, like, three letters that were, like, this, like, principles.
Type of religion, Duggars. We are not prepared. It says IBLP.
Okay, IBLP.
What the hell does that stand for? What does that stand for, Jenna?
I don't know what it stands for.
What is... Institute in Basic Life Principles.
Okay. And so this was a thing, like this guy.
Something Do you remember Goddard, the guy's name? Something.
Bill Goddard?
Is that it?
Was that his
Is
name?
It Bill Goddard?
We are not prepared for this
episode.
All right,
that's all right, y'all.
We don't care because that wouldn't make it fun.
We are not the experts here. Some fucking dude.
Okay, some fucking... I mean, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all basic the same. What's white the dude. Difference? Yeah.
Who had this whole system that came and, like, I guess infiltrated their principles into a lot of churches that people then took on in a way that... This is what I think is really wild about it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people, and maybe we have to have like a little like religious disclaimer here, because I'm not like, I'm not trying to judge anybody who is a Christian or who is any religion for that matter.
I am. I gotta keep it real. I'm totally judging your religion.
But like, don't you think it depends though? Like, I'm not trying to say that like all Christians are bad people.
Nope.
But
yeah,
I think especially now in this day and age, there are a lot of people, as like the meme would say, that are running around with a mouth full of scripture and a heart full of hate. And that was very much how this family was. And that is very much what this system. And this system was essentially like coming into a lot of churches and becoming like the doctrine that these people subscribe to. But then it was also coming into other areas. Like they were talking about it coming into like the military and the police. And their goal was essentially like to have as many children as popular as pop. Why can I not speak today, Christina? Oh my God. What a shit show. Possible. Raise them in these principles and then like infiltrate everything, like every system. They were talking about like trying to, you know, like teach these kids and raise them and train them so they could eventually go on and be like Supreme Court justices and senators. And what I think is wild is that there's a lot of like right-wing conspiracy theories where people are saying that like, oh, the left is trying to do this, or like, you know, Jewish people are trying to do this and whatever. And it's like, they were actually the ones that like tried to do this and to some degree were successful with it.
Yeah. So I went to a Catholic grade school, kindergarten through eighth grade.
Maybe we need to give like a background about each of our like own.
I feel like that could be a separate, that should be an entirely maybe a separate episode.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
It was a traumatizing experience.
Really?
100%. And for ways that I don't, like it wasn't universally traumatizing. It's specifically traumatizing to me. So my sister and I were the only minorities in the whole school.
Oh.
My parents were the only minority, like the only one. So we stuck out like sore thumbs.
Okay.
And it wouldn't be till I got to like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade that I realized that the actual, so they call it a parish. When you're a part of I can only speak for Catholic shit, but it's a parish. It's like a church community.
Yeah.
Again, K through 8, but around 6th, 7th grade, and definitely in 8th grade, I was like, oh, y'all motherfuckers are pieces of shit, and you're walking around with this Bible shield thinking that you can, like, as long as you go to church and say, oh, sorry, God, sorry, Jesus, that you can go out into the world and be a literal piece of shit. And therein becomes the making of Christina, because I was like, I'm sorry, what are we doing here? And the whole, even inside of something as benign as Catholicism, which it was like, we weren't hit. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, there's nuns and they used to hit us with rulers. Like, we weren't we weren't abused in school.
Right.
It was the disconnect between, well, we're sitting in church and there's this guy telling us to be good people. And as a young kid who paid attention very closely to what all the adults were doing.
Yeah.
Not good people.
Okay.
And that's, to me, when I said I'm going to judge your religion, I have questions.
Yeah.
Because everywhere I go, I do not believe in, do I believe in the Bible? Yes or no? I want to believe in the point of Jesus, but everyone has forgotten that Jesus was a brown man. He is not white.
Yeah.
So fuck all the way off.
Yes.
White Jesus isn't real.
Right. Right.
So there's my issue with America.
Did your parents, when your parents sent you to Catholic school, what was the reasoning? Like, were your parents very Catholic?
Nope.
Or was it just like, Did they think you were going to get a better education there?
Yeah. So they moved to a primarily white town from the city of Chicago. And I think being two immigrants, you're taught, when you immigrate, you are taught assimilate to the American dream. Mm-hmm. And this was a way for them to do that. Mm. They were like, oh, we could pay money. And they paid money that they didn't have to be good immigrant parents. This is the life we want to give for our kids more than we ever had.
Yeah.
And their interpretation of that was an expensive education.
So were you guys Catholic at all even?
Not really.
No?
Like, we did like the church thing.
So like if you were any religion, like if you were going to go to any church on Christmas and Easter, where were you going?
Like with my family?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't, but we would have gone to a Catholic
church. Okay, all right. So yes. Because
it was the only thing that we knew.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So interestingly, and another story for another day, here we go on our tangents, everybody buckle in. Eric was raised similarly, got sent to Catholic grade school all the way through high school with an immigrant mom who somehow managed to do that. And, you know, his experience was obviously different than yours because he was like white, like a lot of the rest of the people, but he also felt kind of othered because he didn't have the same kind of money as the other people that were that were in that school. Mm-hmm. And so it was hard for him to like wrap his head around that.
It's so hard.
Yeah. And now interestingly, so I was raised Greek Orthodox.
Okay.
Like if anybody, like shout out to my Big Fat Greek Wedding. If anybody's seen that movie, that was my family, except my grandpa was the one who didn't marry another Greek person.
Are you Greek then?
Yeah, I'm a quarter Greek.
Quarter Greek.
I'm a quarter
Greek. So how come you're a quarter Greek, but you're 100% Greek Orthodox? Like who decided that?
Okay, so Greek Orthodox is like a religion.
Yes. I'm familiar with Greek. Yeah. I'm familiar with
but, it. But like Greek is like the nationality that we were. And that was the church that my mom was brought up in. And my dad was Catholic. And so it was either we baptize our children Greek Orthodox or we baptize our children Catholic. And so like my mom was half Greek because my grandpa was, as my little sister would say growing up, whole Greek. Mm. And my grandmother was English.
Okay.
And so my mom was half Greek. And I think, you know, it's obviously like different because like being English and I was Slovak, English, and Greek. Like, that's my makeup. And so, like, I guess, like, Greek still falls under the category of white.
Yeah.
But it's also, like,
Mediterranean.
Yeah. It's also, like, culturally.
Sure.
Very different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were in our church a lot of immigrants. And in a way, I almost felt also othered there because I wasn't as Greek as the other people. Mm-hmm. So like the other kids would go to Greek school, but like we didn't go to Greek school. Mm. I didn't speak Greek and like good portions of the service were Greek. Mm. So there was a lot of stuff that I feel like I just missed there. Mm-hmm. And also a lot of stuff that was really like, I think like strict to a point. And I think I talked about this a little bit with just kind of how my mom was. It's like, oh, well like, this is the rule, but like, we don't really do that part. It's fine. Like, you're not supposed to eat breakfast before communion, but no, that's like arbitrary rule. We're just going to have breakfast.
The rules.
Yeah.
I don't know if we had a rule that we couldn't eat breakfast before communion, but like, please don't tell me when I'm eating. My God is not judging me based on that.
Yeah.
He's just not.
Yeah.
I've decided that a very long time ago.
Yes. So I don't, like, I guess the whole point I'm getting to in giving this, like, brief religious background, if you will. I'm just skipping closer, guys.
There, yeah, you're good. You're good. Okay, yeah, okay. You're good.
To give, like, a brief religious, like, backstory, all is to say, this, like, fundamentalist brand of Christianity that they were a part of, even though I was brought up religious, like, I was not brought up in purity culture.
I think, yes.
In that way, I was not brought up in this, like, very gendered, stereotypical, like, worldview of things. Or, like, even though we did, like, I remember, Christina, here's a funny story. So, Eric and I got married in the Greek church. And if you watch our wedding video, like, there's the part where they say something like, like love, honor, and obey. And I was like on the like obey part because I'm like, and Eric's cracking is like shit if I'm gonna obey.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah. But it was almost one of those things. It's like you say it and you do it, but you don't really do
it. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Yes.
And I think these people, like the Duggars and all of the people, the likes of them, and anybody that's listening that was like raised in that sort of upbringing, I don't want to narrate your experience. So like you let me know what your experience was of that. But like they were very cloaked in that upbringing in a way that was really harmful to them. Like they were taught that they were supposed to like obey their father until their father essentially passed them on to the ownership of their husband, who they would obey, and they were supposed to like serve that person. Mm-hmm. And so then situations come up where like these girls were sexually assaulted by their older brother, and they're on Fox News doing an interview essentially like defending him.
And I have... And so this is, I think, what happens in the real world, right? Like, we can look at this isolated incident and say, like, oh, the brother is a piece of shit. His behaviors were. But he was being raised in a toxic vacuum. I am not defending the brother that did that to his sister or his sisters.
Right.
But it's a shallow... It's a short-sighted view to stop at just the brother and say, the brother. It's like, wait, these practices... And he... That's one dude.
One dude.
By the way. Like, I'm sure it's littered with stories like that. Because, well, going back to purity culture, having... Just in general, having sexual desire is completely normal.
Right.
Like, and they're raised... To not, they can't they, don't they have to be on dates chaperoned until they're married?
Yes, but it's ultimately on the woman to, like, avoid tempting the man, essentially.
Is that how they said it?
Well, and I don't know if I got that off the episode, but I've actually...
that's like what purity culture is. It's our fault.
I've actually been just going down this rabbit hole now because I was very fascinated by it. And I've been listening to this podcast. It's called The Non-Binary Marriage Podcast, and it's a woman, her name's April LaJoy, and her husband Beecher, who he's non-binary. They're non-binary.
Okay.
I'm sorry for messing up. What is now I'm like, what, like is he even her husband anymore? Are they even her husband anymore? What is the name for that? Is there a name for that? A partner. No. Her partner.
There you go.
Her partner.
Okay.
There is. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, my God. At first, I was like, oh, no, we need another episode.
No. Okay. Anyway, I've been listening to their podcast because essentially they were like super evangelical.
Okay.
And then they were like slowly starting to, what is the word when you're like just kind of unpacking like the stuff in your religion that you no longer
like leaving?
Like
the
deconstructing,
church?
I think, is what they were doing. They came out as non-binary.
Okay.
And now they're like navigating their marriage in that space. And the podcast is really interesting, but like she was talking about in an episode I was listening to recently about the message that she received, which is very much like, don't dress like this because you will, you know, give the men impure thoughts and boys will be boys and they can't be trusted to control themselves. So it's on you.
Exactly.
To resist and keep yourself pure.
Which is the perfect setup, because if and when something, I should say when, but if something bad were to happen, the story's already cut out. It's your fault. They tell you that before anything even happens.
Yes.
They program that thought into the women and the boys.
Yeah.
And the men. They say, to your point, like, it's don't tempt the boys, don't tempt the men, blah, blah, blah. Well... then if something happens, you're already programmed to think this was entirely my responsibility. This was entirely my fault. Because the boys, they're absolved from the beginning.
Yes. And then you feel, have to feel, I imagine, like so much guilt and shame even coming out and telling people.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Terrible. Terrible. The other thing that stood out to me, and it was a friend of mine and I were speaking about this, was that the wife, what was her name? Is her Michelle?
Yeah.
Michelle Duggar. Did you catch the part in the documentary where her friends were like, she used to be a cheerleader and she was like loud and outspoken and had a really bubbly personality, and they juxtaposed that to who she kind of became once she was married to this fucking
Jim Bob?
Freak of fucking nature. The red flag right there, Jim Bob. Okay. Need I say more? Oh! And then she became this like meek, squeaky voice, like, oh, Jim Bob. And her character references were like, she did not always speak like that. So I took that to mean that there's also a teaching of shrinking yourself, meek, like making yourself meek, palatable, obviously, is what they're all trying to do, I think, to women. And I think that is really sad. Not to mention the fact that she was pregnant 19 times.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
No.
Don't you feel like as a husband, there's a line of like, this is an excessive amount of work for my wife's body? There's like a disconnect between how sacred they're treating these women before they become brides.
Yeah.
And then they turn into like a dairy farm, into like a production of...
To me, it feels like they're treating her as like an overbred dog.
100%. I agree. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. But before then, you're like pure and keep it blah, blah, blah. And then he like cannot stop knocking her up. It's just ironic.
And like I'm assuming, and I don't know specifically, I'm assuming like any kind of birth control is out of the question.
Yes. So that was a thing at Catholic school. There were some families that had large, and I guess it would be like Irish Catholic, which we weren't Irish, so I don't get like what that is kind of all about. But the real like serious Irish Catholics that went to that grade school had big families and they were not allowed to use birth control of any kind.
Did they tell you that? Like,
I was friends like with some of the girls were in my grade, and one girl in particular came from a really big family, and it was really? Just like, yeah, we would talk about it because it'd be, oh my God, did we get kicked out? Are we still recording? Oh, we're still in. And yeah, I remember like we would talk about it, and it was part of, it was normal to share in that because it's normalized that birth control is frowned upon. You almost brag about how birth control is not being used because it's God's will to just do that, I guess.
I wish the people could see my face right now. I'm so puzzled. And the reason I think I was so fascinated by watching this show is that, like, even though I grew up, like, going to church and doing those things, that was so far-fetched from anything that was even on my radar that was existing as a way that people could be. And I think, like, when I look back at my childhood, like, there are little hints of it that I can think back to high school specifically. Like, I remember I had a friend in high school who was dating a guy our freshman year, and then he got very involved in his church and his youth group, and then he broke up with her because she wasn't like Christian enough for him. That was the gist of it. And like there are little hints looking back, but I didn't have friends that were like that. And so it's just so like, I think there's a level of, I don't want to call it like understanding, but I think it brings my like edginess down a little bit and takes some of my rage away from like the people themselves. Coming back to your thing about the brother, like when I see people acting in ways that seem hateful or that seem misogynist or whatever, I'm less likely to see just an asshole and more likely to be like, oh, this is a person that literally had nightmares about burning in hell and being burned alive, because that's what one of the people they interviewed on there said, that like the
I had
fear.
That. Yes.
Wait, you had those nightmares as a kid?
Not nightmares, but when I was a kid, I mean, kindergarten through eighth grade. I mean, you're impressionable when you're in kindergarten, first grade, whatever. 100% was always aware of like, if I do this, do I go to hell? Like, you're condemning yourself when you're 7. And by the way, that manifests as guilt. That's guilt. And you're taught to believe that the guilt is the way that God speaks to you. So you have, for the record, I could talk about this religious shit forever. There's a magical man in the sky who's constantly judging you and sending, constantly, you're taught that the magical man in the sky who loves you more than anything else, you are his lamb, you are his child, and here's the Lord, my Savior and Christ, Father, blah, 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 is going to save me. But if you do something wrong, hell. And then we wonder why there's so much fucking abuse and toxicity in the world outside of a religious context, because it's being taught in a religious context, and then people get married at a motherfucking altar. And then you pair it with a Disney movie, and there is society right there. And we call it religion.
I am feeling like I missed so many of these messages because my church service was in Greek and I didn't speak Greek.
You couldn't understand the language.
I just didn't understand what the hell was going on.
You'll never find it in the church. You have to be, I don't know. I think, so I'm learning in therapy that this hyper, I always thought that I was smart. I always thought I was like, I'm intelligent, and really, not that I'm unintelligent, but I guess hypervigilance is a trauma response, mm-hmm. of course. And so I think my hypervigilance as a younger kid, you just watch the adults being fucking hypocrites and reading a Bible at the same time.
Wow.
And they all, the weirdest thing about religious, one of my best friends is a devout Christian.
Okay.
She literally loves Jesus.
Okay.
I don't.
And so is she going to get mad if she listens to this episode?
No, because we talk about it. Okay. I'm like, you do you. It's very much so, I think, her and I, the way that I explain it to people, it's like as if she or I were gay. It's like, okay. Oh, okay, cool. Like, let's talk about it. Like,
yeah.
Because it's different. I'm not like that. But yeah. You are. Like, and it is endlessly fascinating to me because I genuinely want to understand. I know that I'm never going to believe what she believes.
Mm-hmm.
I think she knows I'm never going to change my mind, but I have so many questions and they're rooted in curiosity, not judgment.
Right.
And I mean, I could talk about religion forever. It's and is she
like, was she raised in that kind of like purity culture, like all of that? Because I do think, and I will say this because there is a church in our town. And I don't know anything about this church other than the fact that they had a Christmas tree sale and we went there to pick up a Christmas tree and I happened to like go inside mm-hmm. to like ask somebody like, mm-hmm. how do I pay for those Christmas trees mm-hmm. in your parking lot? Mm-hmm. And there, it was the kind of church that had, you know, they always have like pride flags out and mm-hmm. stuff, but they also had a copy of The Body Is Not an Apology.
Oh,
like
amazing.
In their thing. And I was like, okay, if I ever went to a church, it would be this church. Mm-hmm. Like it was, mm-hmm. it was a Christian church. I think mm-hmm. it might've been a Methodist church.
Cool. Yes.
But like, is she that kind of Christian or is she like...
Yes, yeah, she's like, she's normal. She's not, I went to Utah and Acadia with her. Like, she's yeah. like, I love her. She was my best friend in college. For the record, here's how I knew that I loved her. So one of my goals in college is, I can't believe I'm going to say this. No, I'm not going to say it.
I'll
say it this way. I wanted to, in college... I was like, I want to sleep from a guy from every single sports team.
Okay? I love it.
And so I was like, okay, hockey, check. Baseball, check. Football, check, check, check. And she was my best friend. And I would, like, tell her, like, literally, like, oh, I got drunk and hooked up with so-and-so last night. And we would talk about it.
Yeah.
She didn't try to save me. She didn't try to change my mind. But at the same time, we would then alternately sit and she would talk to me about what the sermon was on Sunday.
Yeah.
So there was this, at least from my point of view, I'm like, this is the coolest friendship ever.
Yeah.
Because we're not the same, but we still care about each other as friends.
Yeah.
She could be singing it completely different. She might be praying for me.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors. And yet, so it's not that I don't judge someone for having religion.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it explained this way. Religion is like a penis. It's fine to have one, but don't go walking around trying to shove it down people's throats.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
And my values as a human are often antithetical to mainstream Christianity.
Yeah. And I don't know, just coming back to that show and talking about like values as a human.
Mm-hmm.
I can just, like, I think the show was, like, it was,
It's like sobering, right?
Yeah. And like disturbing mm-hmm. in a way, but also just gave me, I guess maybe compassion mm. is the word that I'm looking for when I see somebody whose views are so far different from mm-hmm. my own in a way that it's like feels hateful. Mm. What I can actually see now is like a whole lot of like, honestly, fear mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in them. That I think it's coming from and not knowing another way and having this very, it almost feels like it would be very hard to get out because, I mean, this particular thing, you know, your whole life is mm-hmm. wrapped up in it and you're homeschooled with other people in this particular religion and you don't really have that much connection with the outside
didn't
world.
Didn't they say they did it on purpose?
Yeah.
That was part of the IBLP thing is to, I think you were saying this at the start of the show, like everything that they engaged with had to be a part of that community. So they were, I mean, isn't that that's like a telltale sign of abuse is isolation.
Well, and a cult too.
Yes. Well, yes.
And I don't know if it technically like meets all of the qualifications of a cult.
Oh, I think
so. You know, but like very, very cult-like.
Well, do you remember one of the things that was the most disturbing for me was when they showed those like videotapes that the families had to buy and then that one guy, the whatever the guy Goddard or whatever his yeah. name was on the stage and he demonstrated how to spank your kid.
Yeah.
And to me, I was like, yeah, this is just a vector for severe abuse. The guy shows the demonstration. So it's like to punish your kids and keep them in line, mm-hmm. which is terrible. I think that's a terrible way to think about raising kids is like scare them, punish them, and keep them in line. It's yeah. so interesting and not a great way. But the guy was showing him spanking the boy and then making him come in for a hug. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Which is like, to me, I think what that's teaching.
Like a trauma bond?
Totally. Well, because what I think what it's teaching the kids is love hurts.
Yeah.
Love is painful. I'm going to spank you, give you physical pain, and then show you that I love you at the same time, which is terribly confusing.
And so what that does, especially for the women, is sends them into this environment where you're expected to love, honor, and obey. Mm-hmm. And it is your responsibility to, you know, basically like keep your husband from doing wrong things. And if he does, you must have brought it upon yourself. Mm-hmm. Like that just sounds like a perfect storm for somebody to stay in an abusive relationship.
And also think about the fact that, like, so you think about church, right? Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be, well, it's all together, right? Like, you pray to, like, our father. Mm-hmm. There's, like, that patriarchal father figure. Well, that church or whatever wasn't looking out for anyone. But then those poor kids, even your own father isn't looking out for you. Like, think about how devastating that would be to realize of, like, oh, the church isn't here for me.
Right.
My dad put us in this situation. And that poor sister had to, like, I think, did she estrange herself from the entire family?
Yeah. And, like, I just got to point out on a side note, I remember her specifically mentioning that there was a good portion, I think it was Jill, was the sister's name. Like, I think she did a solid 7 years of her adult life that she was not paid mm-hmm. for being exploited on television. And this isn't even, like, as a child, which is a whole nother thing, but, like, as a grown woman, mm-hmm. her dad was just pocketing mm-hmm. all that money.
Mm-hmm. And didn't she give birth on, like,
national television? Yeah, on national television, and she didn't want to.
And she didn't want to.
And yeah. they were basically like, you have to, because you signed this contract yep. that her dad, like, snuck her
yep.
into signing when she thought yep. she was
and then she
signing
never,
something different.
And she was never compensated a dime for mm-mm. televising her own birth.
No.
From her dad. Like, imagine imagine realizing that your father has been exploiting your entire family for that many years. And the brainwashing, too, of likely what probably felt very exciting to, like, have a TV show. Mm-hmm. Right? You're yeah. like, wow, our family is so great. We're on television.
Yeah.
Right? It's just so, it's very gaslighty.
Yeah.
You know?
And it has this, again, like, this, like, shiny, happy. Mm-hmm. But really, like, all the kids, and I think they remember, I remember them talking about, like, just kind of, like, training them to, like, okay, like, I, like, snap my fingers and everybody smile.
Mm-hmm. Bizarre.
But they were, like, they weren't actually smiling. They were just terrified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And trying to make sure they don't go to hell. Do you remember when they were talking about how they raised their kids and there was like pods?
I remember them having like the buddy system.
Yes.
Essentially making the older ones raise the younger ones. Yes.
So all the oldest siblings were parentified. Yeah. They all had to raise kids, their own siblings.
Yeah.
While they were kids themselves.
Like, yeah.
And what were, I think you said this in, via text message, what were the boys doing?
They were off at that like militia camp that they had like, cause this, why am I forgetting the acronym again?
IBLP?
Yeah. They had their own like different places or different things they could send the kids to, like activities. And there was this one for the boys that was essentially like military prep, but they were being this weird like Christian militia.
And so, like, the boys are taught to go and fight and be, like, manly, and the poor girls are stuck at home being moms when they're not.
Yeah.
That's fucked. That's so super fucked. It's super fucked.
Yeah. If anybody's listening to this and, like, you manage to get out on the other side and you're listening to this podcast and you still don't hate us, like, please hit us up and share whatever your experience is that, like, feels very real and true to you, because I feel like we're talking about our perception of this, like, from the outside watching, like, the what happened on the TV show, but then, like, what they exposed in the documentary. And there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more they're not showing on TV.
I know quite a few people that are either currently or recently, especially since 2020, having a faith. I think it's called, different people call it different things, a faith crisis, a faith transition. It's a very traumatizing experience from what I've been able to gather. But yes, I mean, if someone listening has gone through a faith transition or a crisis, we would love to hear if you're willing to share. But like, that's so traumatizing.
Yeah.
Anything else on Shiny Happy People?
I don't know. I would just say,
did we talk about, cause this will be another one. What, oh my gosh, the cult. But it, you say a name, but it's like NVXSM.
Nexium?
Is it Nexium?
Yeah, Nexium. Is it Nexium?
I think so. Did you watch that?
I didn't watch it, but I listened to some podcast episodes about it.
So you need to watch it.
Okay. Same shit sandwich?
Well, but except minus, so it's not on the religious side, it's on the personal development side.
Oh.
It's fascinating.
A lot of, like, next episode, we need to talk about, like, the connection, because I feel like there's a very fine line between, like, all of this stuff, again, same shit sandwich, like, high demand religions, and personal development, like, the kind that's laced in, like, what's the word, toxic positivity, but also, why can't I think of it? The, like, prosperity doctrine?
What is that?
It's essentially...
Is that the Abraham Hicks thing?
I don't know what Abraham Hicks does.
He's, like, the secret law of attraction.
Okay, kind of like that, but it's basically, like, their flavor of it is, like, do good, like, be a good Christian and God will reward you. Or, like, you know what I mean? If you're a good person, you'll have money. And if you don't have money and you don't have, like, things, then you must not be, like, Christianing hard enough.
Oh, what's that called?
I think it's called prosperity doctrine. Y'all, I'm spouting a bunch of things that may or may not be.
Hold on. No, but I have a question. So prosperity doctrine is a term or an organization?
It's a term.
It's a term.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And I wasn't completely prepared to talk about that.
No, we don't have to.
I'm Googling it right now so I can give it. You've not heard of this though.
I've never thought about it.
Oh, prosperity gospel?
Gospel. Okay.
Prosperity gospel is belief that God rewards those with right thinking, with health, wealth, and whole life abundance. It also says it goes by many names. But yeah, like basically the same idea and the same shit sandwich that a lot of like wellness culture pushes on us, which is like, oh, well, you're just fat because you don't work out hard enough. You're just, you know, you just got sick because you don't eat enough organic vegetables and you just need to like wellness harder. You just need to like try work harder.
Yep.
Which is like the same shit sandwich and is a perfect pipeline, which like there very much is this thing from like wellness influencer into like far right conspiracy theories and,
religion
too. And by the same token, like very like religious, particularly like fundamentalist Christian influencers who are like mixing that up with the wellness stuff. And this is a whole nother episode for another day. But I have noticed like back when I was in my like super wellnessy days and paleo days, a lot of those people that I used to follow for that, I wouldn't say a lot, but like quite a few of them have gone down that path of like conspiracy theories and like anti-vax stuff and all of that. And I can't help but think to myself, especially like how gullible I was and how like desperate I was to be like the fit and healthy one. Like, couple wrong moves. Everybody be careful what you're listening to out there. Like, even if it's us, but like, because it's.
And it's, I think, so the NXIVM thing was fascinating to me because I am more like originally interested in cults via the religious context. So the NXIVM thing, to your point, I was like, personal development cult? This is fascinating because it's structured the exact same way as all these other power dynamics.
It was like the Tony Robbins shit too.
Oh, yes. Like the Tony Robbins brand. Don't get me started.
Do we have to have a whole like Tony Robbins?
We just should do like random culty shit, I think, because that's online business too, Jenna.
Yes.
On the online business world is a, I don't even know what to call it. It's a, because it's not a monolith, which I guess neither is religion, but whatever.
Neither is religion. And that's why I think I'm not so quick to like judge religion or like judge all Christians, because to me, you know what it feels like? It feels like the anti-diet world judging all fitness as being toxic.
Sure.
And that's what I'm trying not to do.
And I think that, so I'm a hard sell. And if you are, like, prove it to me that you believe in God. Because I think that you're just afraid, which is different. Like, my God, because I am actually very spiritual. I'm a super, I have a spiritual practice. I know who my God is, and he's not a magical man in the sky.
I want to talk about this on another episode now.
Like my spirituality?
Well, like not just yours, but mine. I also feel like I am a very spiritual person, even though I no longer consider myself to be practicing any particular religion. I do believe in like a higher power of sorts, but there aren't a lot of rules surrounding it. It's very loose, much like everything else in my life.
Yes. And also like, let us not forget that cultures before we were colonized had gods that looked and sounded nothing like the current day Bible stuff.
Yeah.
It's been, so I think that I took a class in college called The Bible is Fiction. Fascinating. Great little storybook, like Adam and Eve fall in love and blah, blah, blah. But a lot of it's been taken out of context, and that is the part that makes me, that I think is what I'm the most curious about, is like when you get someone that's very like, you know you're going to hell if you don't pray to God every day. And I'm like, tell me more about that. And then they just like cherry pick their Bible verses, but aren't actually, like, what did you say? Scripture in their mouth and hate in their heart?
Yes.
I think that is the norm.
Yes. Yes.
And so I walk into those situations very suspicious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. And when you talk about being like a hard sell, I'm a very easy sell. I've become, since, like, I think since like realizing like what like being in, I wouldn't call it like a cult, but like the wellnessy kind of like cult of that and coming out of that. And realizing that that was all false and not the way to be, I think I'm a little more skeptical now before, like, going all in with anything. But I am a very easy sell. And
because you like to have fun.
Because I like to have fun. Because I'm an optimist. Yes. Because I don't automatically go into situations thinking that somebody's out to scam me or that they have ill intentions.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I go in with, like, this person's going to fuck me. It doesn't sound that serious, but I'm like, you're going to have, you need to work very hard so that I trust you, is how I walk into every situation.
And I'm very the opposite end of the spectrum.
That's good.
I'm very trusting
That's good.
To the point that I am lucky that I haven't gotten myself into any really bad situations.
Yeah, that's so good.
Especially, I saw somebody post something, I think it was on Threads, mm-hmm. where they were saying, like, I'm not gullible enough to get pulled into a cult, but I'm curious enough. Yeah. I am definitely curious enough. Like, I'm a little looky-loo in the corner, and then you, like, invite me in and give me a cup of tea and, like...
So for me, I'd be like, okay, we got to infiltrate the crowd. I'm going to pretend to be a presenter and then change everyone's mind and get them out of here.
Oh, my gosh. I love it, but, like, it's all... I just can't help but think about how it's all connected. And I think the reason why I wanted to talk about this show was because I just, like, binge-watched it last mm-hmm. week. And there were a lot of people on my Instagram stories mm-hmm. who then, like, responded and said that they had watched it and stuff like that. But I think... It is a good watch.
It is such a good watch.
It is eye-opening, especially if you're somebody like me. And I think mm-hmm. if you're still listening after our Food is Political episode,
yeah.
if you came back for more of this, then you're probably on the same page as us. And I'm just thinking about how I've been feeling. Really, mm-hmm. I mean, since before 2020, mm-hmm. probably since like 2016. And mm-hmm. just so angry. Mm-hmm. And... almost feeling like hateful in my own right. Like, how could you be so hateful? I hate you. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. to people who believe this way. But I think it was really eye opening and almost, I guess, like let me off the hook mm. a little bit to feel like there's any possible thing that I could do to convince these people.
Mm.
Like that is not a battle that I'm able to fight.
Yeah.
That is not mine.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No.
To carry.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe in the future we should do, because we didn't come prepared, but there's like things to look for if you're in an organization or a structure
mm-hmm.
that is or could be conducive to a cult-like setting. It's very psychological.
And yeah.
You don't just accidentally start a cult. It's a vacuum. There's a lot of isolation. There's a lot of like brainwashing. There is not a lot of outside information. So like questioning is frowned upon.
Mm.
To ask questions is like, how dare you do that?
It's yeah.
very like, well, I don't know what this is. What word is this? Contained.
Yeah.
Everything is very calculated and contained. And to your point that dieting is like that, there's fitness spaces that are like that, there's business spaces that are like that, relationships, like, I mean, you could extrapolate the religious context to everything.
You really could, which is why I think it's a really good show.
Yeah, it was such
to watch. And we'll have to maybe come a little bit more
prepared
with some of that, but I don't know, would that be fun for us?
I don't know.
I don't know if it would be fun. I don't know if this is going to be fun anymore if I have to do research.
Maybe listeners can send us DMs if they have thoughts about this one. Like, is this... I feel like I want people to DM me so we can talk... Not talk shit, but, like, discuss religious cults.
Or DM, a faith transition. Or, you know what I will say? If we want to make the research portion of it fun...
Ooh, y'all research for us.
Well, if... And also, if this is your experience, like, if you've ever been in, like, a high-demand religion or a cult... Or you happen to be somebody who, like, does research about cults and... yes. And brainwashing and... And any and all of this and purity culture, like if you are the expert on this topic,
reach out to us
because we might not be the experts, but we are fascinated.
Yeah, we want to chat. We want to chat.
All right.
Let's do that.
Let's chat.
Thanks, okay, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks again for tuning into Tough Cookie Talks. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to learn more about me and how we can work together, visit my website, itsjennaj.com, or follow and tag me on Instagram, @itsjennaj. I would love to hear from you. If you like this episode and want to hear more, make sure you click subscribe and follow along so that you don't miss a single show. Then take a moment and leave me a 5-star rating and review so that we can help this podcast and this message reach even more people. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.